Blaine, as you know, as leaders, we naturally gravitate towards what is easy to measure. And sometimes we're mistaken because the easy measurements of revenue, growth, profits, performance, these dashboards that are available for everything at the touch of our finger to create them and utilize them, they will provide valuable insights, but they don't always tell the whole story, do they? They give us clues and patterns of a complete story, but not enough information or certainty to create sustainable success. It's very difficult, and we need to see what's invisible. These assets that numbers alone cannot capture, including energy, energy in motion, energy that's interfered with, and of course, the energy of intuition, inspiration, and intelligence that can help elevate our awareness beyond what seems to be simple. If we look backwards in history, we're reminded that favorable metrics can create the illusion of progress while making the underlying problems less distinguishable. Organizations often celebrate the quarter numbers, the reported numbers, the improving numbers, while they're overlooking declining trust, interfering cultures, innovation changes, and leadership difficulty. We must never confuse what is measurable compared to what is valuable. The greatest leaders invest in the behaviors and the relationships that ultimately produce this extraordinary measurable outcomes. And as we get into the first lesson to distinguish of what to measure and the danger of measuring the simple things, the obvious things, utilizing dashboards that may not be indicative, aligned, or provide the value that we need to assess. The first lesson that we're going to teach today, and by the way, if you'd like the replay, exercises, guides, and books from today, I'm the beloved servant. David means beloved. At D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. Let me be that beloved servant. Email me if you need anything from this training, including the replay. David@dmeltzer.com. Right there. David@dmeltzer.com. Blaine, the first lesson I'd like to share is don't confuse measurement with value. And I think a lot of people don't understand value, and so they measure things that are arbitrary, capricious, and nonsensical. Numbers provide information. That's all they really do. And there's a lot of information to reconcile, but they don't always provide the wisdom. This is a big distinction between knowledge and wisdom today. And when we prioritize only what is easy to measure, we risk ignoring the factors, the behaviors, the capabilities that create lasting success. And so many companies that celebrate record quarters, years, revenues, employees, engagement, they don't look at those things. They're just looking at these quarterly numbers while there's a degradation, a disintegration of engagement for sure, customer trust, and slowly but surely their innovation, which is happening today to so many people, may be at the top of their game, but be completely useless by the end of the next quarter. How do we, Blaine, if we're not going to, confuse the measurement of revenue and quarterly numbers and board requirements, how do we measure value?
That is the $64,000 question. And that dates me a little bit just in saying that. But the value is linked to what makes us as an organization unique. Yeah, and that unique way that we go to business, that unique product offering mix that we have. What makes us unique? That's the value proposition. And most metrics, and you mentioned this, you know, we prioritize what's easy to measure. And what's easy to measure is what's historically always been measured and what, you know, the street pays attention to, what our board says is important. Leaders today need to really hone in on what makes us as an organization unique. What's our unique value proposition? And then organize metrics that are consistent with the delivery of and the creation of that value proposition. This is not easy to do. It's not a question that most, you know, executive teams wrestle with. You know, what makes us unique? That's not a question that most of us have heard the CEO talk about. So if you can begin to hone in on that, then you can begin to develop metrics that are consistent with that future state, because that value that what makes us unique is expressed in the future. It's not measured in today. It's expressed in the future. So we're continuously growing into that. The lifespan of most organizations is less than a human being. So
yeah, and go ahead. Sorry.
There you go. And it's less than a human being because we measure the wrong things. We pay attention to the wrong things that are actually compromising our ability to thrive long term as an organization.
Yeah, and these dashboards really give us a good picture of where we've been. But more than ever today, our culture, you know, people work for cultures, not companies. Our culture determines where we're going. And so we need to measure with engagement, productivity, accessibility, even gratitude, where our culture is to get the right talent acquisition, the right talent development. And of course, most valuable to a culture is the talent retention. And so differentiating between these metrics are quite important, and evaluating the success beyond financial performance is crucial. The second lesson today in the danger of measuring the wrong things is understanding leading versus lagging, and those indicators that give us a true awareness to whether we're leading or lagging in the industry, career, job in which we are working within. And a lot of organizations spend the majority of their attention on lagging indicators, the past, results that have already occurred. And great leaders focus in on the leading behaviors, the impactful behaviors that will influence these future outcomes. Revenue is dangerous because you need to look at it. It's a requirement. It's a measurement that most boards and public shareholders are looking at, but they still reflect yesterday's decisions. It is trust, communication, accountability, and consistency that will determine tomorrow's numbers, tomorrow's measurements, tomorrow's revenue. And the greatest competitive advantage that are built long before they ever appear on the quarterly statements, the P&Ls, the balance sheets, they never reflect that competitive advantage. And so, Blaine, how do we identify these leading indicators to help us not just reflect on the revenue of the past, but to guide us with trust, communication, accountability, and consistency?
I think the easiest way to think about this is when you think about leading versus lagging indicators, think of metrics that are organized around success and succeeding. So the success is kind of the endpoint. That's what the idiot light shows on the dashboard. Yeah, we're successful here. The succeeding criteria are the ones that contributed to that dashboard metric showing up. That's what we want to be actually paying some attention to. So what are the elements that go into, what's the first cause? You kind of go back to first cause. What are the things that we need to measure? Now, here's where it gets interesting. Most metrics are organized to measure what has already happened. You know, what we say is important, what the board says is important, that sort of thing. If we've got a future state that we're moving towards, we want to identify what are the succeeding criteria that will get us to that point there. They're going to be different than what got us here right now. So you begin to identify different succeeding criteria. So, you know, one of the things that I do with my clients when we're working with them is, Yeah, and you begin to, you come from that future state. You lead from that future state. So the way you do that is you insist that people behave today, think today, speak today, as if that future were already here. That invites an exploration of what are we measuring? If we're measuring what was, we're not behaving in concert with what could be. So I want to measure the behavior that will get me where I'm going, not what got me here. That sort of thing. I want to measure the thinking that got, that will get me there, not what got me here. I want to measure the conversations that will get me there, not what got me here. That's a succeeding criteria.
And a lot of people won't invest the time to strengthen these behaviors, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. They know that that's what drives future success, but they usually justify why they're not where they want to be, because they didn't have time to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday trainings, to have calendar reviews and things that are behavioral to review the progress as well as the behaviors and the outcomes. We need to understand what is the difference between leading and lagging indicators, and those behaviors and the strengthening of those behaviors will help us to quantify the outcomes before they happen. If you'd like to understand leading versus lagging indicators, let me be your beloved servant. David means beloved. At D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. Email me if you like the replays, guides, or exercises, lessons for the day. David@dmeltzer.com. The third lesson, Blaine, is this idea of invisible assets. There's so many things that can't be seen and that are ignored because they're invisible. The most valuable assets in an organization rarely appears on the balance sheet, the P&L, or on the quarterly reports. Yet these invisible assets, they compound as well every day, just like revenue. Organizations with strong cultures, trusted leadership, loyal customers that buy from you and sell for you, and engaged employees consistently will outperform all of their competitors all of the time. We keep talking about trust. We keep talking about relationships. We talk about the credibility and the purpose and gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication. These are the assets that appreciate, compound, and accelerate and aggregate because they are intentional investments. For you, Blaine, as we look at prioritizing these different cultural strengths of trust, loyalty, and engagement, as we create these systems, what have you found is the best practice for companies to help facilitate building the trust, the loyalty, and the engagement, and use those as invisible assets to provide guaranteed success in the future?
I think the meetings are the lingua franca of, if you will, of most organizations. Everything happens in a meeting in some way, shape, or form. Meetings help people exchange information. Conversations help people think better together. So one of the things that we want to be able to do is find ways to develop the conversational muscle in an organization. And you've heard me say this a number of times, all any organization is, and I don't care the size of it or the nature of it, all any organization is a collection of people in relationship. If the relationships are working pretty good, you got a pretty good shot at being successful. Conversation is the oil, if you will, the lubricant that allows for relationships to work well. And relationships are not just interpersonal. I've got a relationship with vision, I've got a relationship with values, and this is the cultural dynamic that comes into play. So curating high-quality relational conversations. Most meetings will focus on what are we doing. Let's report on what we've done. We want to have conversations about how are we doing. That's a different come from. And we can measure that in a different way as well. So we want to be able to measure the how as well as the what. And we do that through conversational focus.
Yeah, and our framework is the what, the who, the how, and the now are the four different subject topics and expertises of a culture to know what do we want in a divine direction, who can we help and who can help us, how best, as you mentioned, can we get that done, and then the prioritization of knowing what's important to the culture, the trust, the engagement, and loyalty is essential. If you want to learn how to build the invisible assets in your company, email me, David@dmeltzer.com. David@dmeltzer.com. Lesson number four, there's three filters of leadership that I utilize in understanding the lenses of success. Every opportunity and an option, touch of favor, initiative, and decision should be evaluated beyond the measurable return. An initiative may increase quarterly profits, but damage employee morale or customer loyalty over time. When we're pursuing these options, opportunities, and touches of favor, what are some of the key questions that we should ask ourselves to measure it and manage it instead of building value?
The three basic ones that come up here. Yeah, number one, can we measure it? So you want to be able to identify that, because if you can't measure it, you're not going to have people's focus on what needs to be done, because you know it just becomes amorphous. Can you feel it? And you want to be able to feel it. So how do you measure feeling? So that kind of comes into play here. So that shows up through employee engagement metrics. Yeah. And yeah. I'm talking about emotional engagement. Yeah, how can you measure that? And then the final one, go ahead.
I just had to ask real quick, because I think people overlook this engagement issue.
Yeah.
You and I have had deep discussions with some of the biggest companies in the world, because I believe engagement is the critical variable to success. And it is also probably the biggest challenge, especially in America, that most employees are not the Nick of Wam. They're not Marissa Meltzer. They're not Mikey Allen. They literally are not engaged. And I think it's over 90-some percent are literally at such a low percentage of engagement. What do you know about this engagement variable?
Gallup has done a survey for years, for decades, literally looking at our employee engagement globally. And to your point, 87 to 92% of employees surveyed worldwide are emotionally disengaged from their work to a significant degree. And leaders, there's about $46 billion spent annually trying to increase employee engagement, and it doesn't move the needle at all because we're not paying attention to the correct thing. Most leaders are not measuring what needs to be measured, and that has to do with meaning. Are we generating enough meaning in the system for people to say, that's important to me? Yeah. So why does this matter? Why does this matter? That's where the feeling piece comes into play. And it's not just go out there and hit another 10% increase in revenue. I can measure that, in my sleep, but can I get people to care about doing something a little different that ends up resulting in a net increase in revenue? And it's the meaning that generates that. And so that's why we're talking about, can you feel it? Can you measure the feeling? Yes, you can. It's an emotional engagement, and it shows up in net promoter scores. It shows up in employee engagement surveys. You can measure this stuff.
Yeah. So we have measuring it, feeling it, and that third filter of
sustaining it.
Yeah. And that's where the employee retention comes in.
Exactly.
Because that's the only way to sustain it. If anybody wants to learn more about these three filters of leadership, how to measure, feel, and sustain, just email me, David@dmeltzer.com, David@dmeltzer.com. The next lesson, knowing what matters most so we can measure that. Every KPI influences behaviors. If we measure the wrong things, and the danger in measuring the wrong things, we then change behaviors that interfere, not align with the divine direction of our business. We actually will encourage the wrong behaviors, the wrong actions. I see so many sales teams that I work with, Blaine, they're measured only by volume and they sacrifice customer relations. When I say customers, it's internal, external, vendors, channel partners. All of these I consider a customer, especially in the sales side of it. And they sacrifice that relationship for an immediate transaction.
Yeah.
And so these reports, these KPIs may improve bottom line for a short term, but they don't improve behavior. They actually interfere with improved behavior. In looking at KPIs, what value, as we look to see what we measure or matters most, what do we look at to see how those numbers are relative to behaviors, or the KPI itself is irrelevant to the future? How and what do we do to know what matters most when we're measuring these KPIs?
Let's go back to the, you know, the notion that all any organization is a collection of people in a relationship. That includes my relationship with my customers, my vendors, my suppliers, as well as my employees, all that sort of stuff. One of the classic KPIs that most organizations, particularly those that are in a retail position, will measure is customer satisfaction. Customer satisfaction is based on transactional outcomes. Was the customer satisfied or not with this transaction? It does not measure loyalty. The problem with a customer satisfaction metric, and if that's all we're tracking, you begin to train people to behave in a way that says, give the customer anything that they want because we don't want to risk them being disappointed. If you're looking at measuring customer loyalty, now you change the conversation. You begin looking through the lens of how can I assist this customer more effectively? I may disappoint them in this transaction, but long term, they become become partners with them in achieving an outcome perhaps they didn't even know that they wanted. So if we can begin measuring customer loyalty, and this will show up in net promoter scores, as an example. An NPS score is different than a customer satisfaction score. And it actually trains the staff to behave in a different way because we're looking at a different succeeding criteria. Loyalty, not satisfaction.
Yeah, and loyalty adds that exponential factoring to business because a loyal customer sells for you for life.
Yep.
And we can see quantitative measurements by understanding where our new business comes from. Does our new business come from our old business? That's a critical quantitative measurement that matters most to me because I know that those reflective past numbers of quarterly reports show me who bought from us, but the future will be driven by who's selling for us, and no better salesperson than a customer to derive. It's the least expensive and most powerful sales force in the world is your customer base, your community. If you would like to learn to measure what matters most, email me, beloved servant. David means beloved at D, first initial. Meltzer means servant. Email me. Pinned right below, David@dmeltzer.com, David@dmeltzer.com. The final lesson of the day and the danger of measuring the wrong things is how do we build a legacy, not just a dashboard? You know, in wealth, generational wealth, very similar to this building of a legacy. If you want generational wealth, you need to have assets that create interest that exponentially grows tax-free. And I think this can be applied analogously to building a legacy in your business comparatively to just income or a dashboard. Because organizations that endure focus, intention, attention on developing people, champions, before optimizing numbers, they have sustainable growth that always begins with the people, with the leadership, with the champions. I was with Nick Saban, as I mentioned to you, a couple weeks past, and I loved when he said, Dave, I stopped worrying about championships. I started focusing in on building champions because champions win championships. And these companies that Nick and I and you work with the greatest enterprise value, consistently invest in one thing: their people. Relationships, communication, loyalty, execution, engagement, and culture, all of these things relative to these people. They invest in these things long before those investments ever appear on a P&L or balance sheet or quarterly report. People manage what they measure. Great leaders like Nick Saban and Blaine Bartlett also measure what matters. Blaine, people are so important. And if we want to optimize our numbers, we need to build champions. What have you found to be the best way to empower, to encourage the loyalty, the excitement, inspiration that's necessary to build champions? What are some of the things that people care most about? And I don't think it's their salary.
It definitely isn't. And first of all, thank you for putting me in the same class as Nick. I appreciate that. But to his point, yeah, we build great companies by building great people. I mean, it fundamentally is that simple. We build great companies by building great people. You know, and to the answer to your question here, what we can do is we can begin to examine our thinking. You know, one of the things that we measure, you know, we look at our balance sheet, we look at our P&L. We carry the employee base on the balance sheet as an asset. And over time, for tax purposes, we depreciate assets. So there's an inherent bias towards depreciating that people asset. We say they're our greatest asset, but we don't behave as if they are. We look at them as a line item on the P&L, and it's an expense line item. So we're looking for ways to reduce the expense. So what that looks like is we don't invest in them. We treat it as an expense, not as an investment. So one of the simplest things that we can do is begin to recalibrate our thinking. If we're going to build a great company, we need to build great people. So how do we go about measuring how we're doing with that? Starts with our onboarding process. It starts with identifying what is value. Yeah. What is the contribution that you're making? Asking people, how can you best contribute to what we're doing here? Those sorts of things start to come into play, and they will give you an answer. Here's the best way you can utilize me. And all of a sudden, I feel as if I'm valued. If I feel valued, I'm going to be innovative. I'm going to be creative, and we start working with it. This takes time. It's not a short-term fix.
And we all know if you take that short-term fix, if you cut the line, you're going to go back to the back of the line. There's no way to build a legacy or a dashboard. If you want to know how to build a legacy with measurement, email me, david@demeltzer.com. If you'd like the replay of this training, once again, David is beloved, at the, my first initial. Meltzer means servant. Email me, david@demeltzer.com. Organizations that create lasting impact don't simply optimize their dashboards. It's quite easy today with AI, to be honest, but they cultivate trust, relationships, purpose, and culture. Those invisible investments eventually produce the extraordinary balance sheets, P&Ls, and measurable results. The greatest companies don't outperform because they track more numbers. They outperform because they enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of their potential to improve the things that most people overlook. Success is not found in controlling every metric. Success comes from that enjoyment of consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. It comes from consistently investing in the invisible behaviors that create the extraordinary, visible, quantitative results. Once again, if you would like the replay from today, the books, the guides, the exercises from each of these lessons, on the danger of measuring the wrong things, email me, david@demeltzer.com. Blaine, thank you so much. I'll see you next week.